It's time for Dishing Up Nutrition with licensed nutritionist Darlene Kvist. Each week, Darlene explains the connection between what you eat and how you feel. Stay tuned to hear practical, real-life solutions for healthier living through good nutrition. Dishing Up Nutrition is brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kicking down the cobblestones.
Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Cassie Wienis, licensed nutritionist, and I want to thank all of you for joining us today. As always, I need to give a shout-out to my two biggest fans listening back home. So to my son Riley and my daughter Marissa, hi, Mommy loves you. You guys take a good nap for Daddy, and I'll be home when you get up. And in studio with me today is Kara Carper. She's one of our nutrition counselors. Kara sees clients at two of our locations. She works out of both the St. Paul and the Wayzata offices. And she teaches classes for nutritional weight and wellness, too. So welcome, Kara.
Thanks, Cassie. I hope we have a lot of listeners listening this afternoon because we have a great show. Our topic is fats. And often on this show, we spend a considerable amount of time talking about the bad fats that we should be avoiding. But today, we're really going to focus on the good fats that are out there that we would like you to be eating on a daily basis.
You know, you might say the same thing, Kara. I know when I see clients for the first time, like if it's their initial consult with me and if they've never heard our radio show before, when I start talking about eating more fat at every meal, every snack, usually they get really excited and usually they're really surprised too. But it is the things like almonds, olive oil, organic butter, it's these healthy fats that you really need to be eating every day to stay healthy.
Right. You know what you said, that happens to me as well. I think people, they have this misconception that they're supposed to stay away from fat. So when we tell them it's okay to eat fat, they do get really excited. So our show today is titled Good Fats to the Rescue. And over the next hour, we're not only going to talk more about exactly which foods are a source of good fat, but we're also going to focus on the functions and in many cases the healing benefits that these fats have.
And to lead us into the first function of fat, I want to dispel a myth that unfortunately a lot of Americans still believe, and that's the myth that eating fat is going to make you fat.
And again, we have clients and people in our classes telling us they're buying the fat-free cream cheese, they're buying fat-free yogurts, and they thought that was the healthy thing to do. But like Cassie said, that really is a myth. That fat is going to make you fat. So we are here today to dispel that myth.
Yes. And, you know, I find even if I'm teaching a class and I really get into the science behind why you want to stay away from those low-fat and those no-fat items and choose the unprocessed healthy fats instead, even after I've went through all of that science, people still have a hard time picking up that full-fat cream or that carton of whole milk from the grocery store shelf. And I think it's because for decades, it's been drilled into our heads that fat is bad.
It really has. It's very hard for people to go from skim milk to whole milk. Mm-hmm. I tell people to do the transitional one and then go to 2%.
And I had to do that myself. It was a mental thing. You know, yeah, you got to take baby steps.
Yep. Once people start incorporating foods like the nuts, seeds, olive oil, and butter on a daily basis, and they actually find themselves losing weight, they do become true believers in the fact that you really have to eat fat in order to lose weight.
Exactly. So if you're listening and one of your New Year's resolutions is to lose weight, seriously, you need to eat more fat. And some of you may think that I just misspoke, but you did hear me right. If you want to lose weight and maintain it really for a lifetime, you need to be eating healthy fats on a daily basis. Because one of the functions of healthy fat is that it activates your metabolism.
And we have some research. It was done by David Horobin out of Germany. He's very well respected in the area of essential fatty acid research. And he found in studies that slimmer adults have a higher amount of polyunsaturated fatty acids in their blood than their heavier counterparts. So he's concluded that some overweight and obese individuals may be suffering from a polyunsaturated fatty acid deficiency.
Right.
That's kind of a mouthful.
It is a mouthful. And so just to recap what Kara just said, for some people who are struggling with weight loss, it might be that you need to add more foods containing these healthy omega-6 fats in order to really rev up your metabolism and start burning that stored fat. And in our clinical experience, we've seen it time and again that this benefit from the omega-6s that research you just read was talking about, it really comes into play if the weight gain is hormonally related, and that usually shows up with weight gain around the hips. So if that's kind of your trouble spot, it would probably be a good idea to start incorporating some of the foods containing the healthy omega-6s. And those are things like game meats, dairy and meat from grass-fed animals. And if you're one of those few people that does like organ meats, like my dad loves liver, those organ meats are really high in the healthy omega-6s too. Now, on the other hand, we've seen at our office when we're dealing with clients that are struggling with more of the belly fat, or maybe you have more of that apple-shaped body, then it's the omega-3 fatty acids that are oftentimes helpful with boosting the metabolism. And our philosophy at Nutritional Weight and Wellness is, if at all possible, to get your nutrients, including your healthy fats, from eating real foods. But if game meat and organ meat really isn't your thing, you might want to consider taking a fatty acid supplement, like an omega-6 supplement, and the forms would be borage seed oil or evening primrose oil. And we find that, it's fact that if you're an adult, it's going to be beneficial to take the borage oil because it's a more concentrated form. When we're dealing with teenagers is more when we talk about the evening primrose oil.
For things like premenstrual syndrome.
Yes.
And Cassie had mentioned the omega-3 essential fatty acids if you're struggling with belly fat, which is usually related to insulin resistance.
Right.
But you can also get omega-3 from food sources as well. Some other sources are fish, eggs, if the chickens were out in free range. But here, too, you can take a fish oil supplement if you don't like to eat fish or eggs.
And, you know, those are great fatty acids, the omega-6s, the omega-3s. But again, really all types of healthy fats, if you get a variety of them on a daily basis, they're all going to be helpful when you're trying to lose weight. So an example of how that might look when you're trying to incorporate this information into meals, if you start off your day with a couple of eggs fried in olive oil, and maybe you have a slice of whole grain toast on the side, put some good butter on top of that, that olive oil and that butter, especially if it's an organic butter, are going to help jumpstart your metabolism and get you burning calories right from the very start of your day.
So who knew? Butter is going to help you with your metabolism.
Right. This reminds me of the very first time I heard this radio show before I worked for DAR, and I didn't know all of this good science, and I just laughed out loud in the car because she was talking about eating butter and real cream, and I'm like, who is this nutritionist? But it's true. It works.
It does. You know, and that's not the only function of healthy fat is increasing metabolism. There's a lot of other benefits as well. Another one is that fat will help you stabilize your blood sugar. So I think a lot of listeners understand that if you eat a bowl of rice or pasta and that was it, nothing else with that, the rice or pasta are purely carbohydrates, so your blood sugar is going to raise very quickly and very high. But if you include some healthy fat with that, maybe you put butter on your rice, maybe you have a cold pasta salad with some mayonnaise, that healthy fat is going to slow the absorption of the carbohydrates, and that's what stabilizes blood sugar.
You know, hearing you explain all of that reminds me of one of my favorite little sayings that I like to share with my clients, and that is never eat a carbohydrate alone.
Right, and if you are constantly overdoing the carbs and not balancing them with healthy fat, it can lead to a lot of health problems down the road. So it depends somewhat on your individual biochemistry, but for many people, this is a path to heart disease, pre-diabetes, and eventually type 2 diabetes. For others, it might be inflammation in the form of aches and pains. And that all starts, believe it or not, from not balancing blood sugar.
And in the short term, there's some not so great health effects, too. You know, if you're constantly spiking your blood sugar because you're avoiding those healthy fats, for some people, they have those ups and downs in their energy level all day long. For for some people, they get really irritable because you're not achieving that state of stable blood sugar. I've had clients describe this mental fog to me before, or the fact that they just don't have that mental clarity anymore. That can be unstable blood sugars. And for a lot of people, especially the women, it seems, cravings.
Mm-hmm.
And a big piece of getting rid of your cravings is stabilizing those blood sugars.
I recently had a client, I guess this happens all the time, that we have clients come in and they start eating fat. And the first thing they notice is that their cravings go away.
Yes.
They don't, you know, they're not as likely to reach for that Diet Coke or M&Ms from the vending machine at work.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, what a fantastic benefit of eating fat.
It's so liberating when you don't have to struggle with those cravings on a day-to-day basis. And there's real biochemistry there. If you're spiking your blood sugar, you're inevitably going to bottom out after that spike. And when you're at that low is when your brain is telling you, I need some fuel right now. And that's when you're likely to grab for something like the M&Ms you mentioned, that's going to turn to sugar fast.
So it's really not always all about willpower, right, Cassie?
Right. Or it's not
it's
that I used to think I was...
biochemistry.
Right, right. I mean, a lot of people, I think that they're born with this personality where they're just going to have these cravings and struggle all their life. But like you just said, it's biochemistry.
Mm-hmm.
Now, before we get into the next function of fat or the next healing benefit that we want to talk about, let's talk a little bit more about what foods contain healthy fats. I know we've already mentioned olive oil. We talked about nuts and seeds a little bit. I mentioned the organic butter. Cara, why don't you share with us, what are some other favorites in terms of healthy fats that you have in your cupboards?
Well, I like to use coconut oil. I use that for stir frying. Sometimes I even just cook my eggs in it. Coconut milk, I put that in my protein shake in the morning. Nut butter, I actually don't use a lot of peanut butter. My favorite is cashew and macadamia nut butter mixed together.
That sounds really good. I remember the first time I met Cara, I saw her in the office eating those nut butters right from the jar.
Yeah.
Yummy stuff. Well, it's time to take a break. You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, and we're discussing the positive health benefits of eating good fats. And stay tuned, because when we return, we're going to talk about some more healthy benefits and give you some more ideas on how to incorporate these fats into your daily meal plan. If you have questions, you can call us here at the station at 651-641-1071.
She said it's cold outside, she hands me a raincoat.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Cara Carper, nutrition counselor, and I see clients at both our Wyzetta and St. Paul offices. I'm here today with Cassie Wienus, registered dietitian. Cassie sees clients at Wyzetta as well. And in addition to seeing clients, we both teach classes for nutritional weight and wellness. And on that note, I'd like to mention that we're starting the new year off with a bang at Nutritional Weight and Wellness. And we've decided to offer our signature series of classes, which is our six-week-long weight and wellness series. We're offering that at more locations than ever. So Andover, Bloomington, Maple Grove, Woodbury, and numerous other locations, we're offering these classes. And during the 6 weeks, you will learn how to put together a meal plan that works for you and tastes great. And you're going to learn to eat in a way that improves your health and also will speed up metabolism. So if you're one of the millions of Americans that are struggling with food cravings on a daily basis, you're also going to learn how to get rid of these cravings. So to learn more or sign up for a class, you can call our St. Paul office, 651-699-3438, or you can go to our website, weightandwellness.com.
And before we get back into some of our material here for today, we have some callers on the line. So we're going to take Erica. Hi, Erica. Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. Do you have a question?
I do. I eat healthy fats throughout my day, and I eat a non-fat yogurt that's organic. And I'm wondering, is that still beneficial, or should I switch to a whole milk organic yogurt?
Well, we always say that the least processed in terms of the foods you're choosing is best. So if you think in those terms, a whole milk yogurt would be less processed. And a whole milk yogurt really contains balance in and of itself, meaning it has some good animal protein, some healthy fat, and it does have some carbohydrates in it as well. So I don't think the organic non-fat is the worst thing in the world, but I do think a whole milk yogurt would probably be better.
Okay. And I have one other question, since I was holding about something you asked or
sure.
spoke of. Coconut oil. What's the best coconut oil? Because I've gone to buy the oil, and I know there's refined and not refined and pressed.
There seems to be
a lot of options.
There are a lot of options with oils out there. The best coconut oil would be organic cold pressed. And
okay.
I know Spectrum is one brand that comes to mind.
And what places carry that, Cara? The co-ops?
Oh, I get mine at Whole Foods or the co-ops. I know that most grocery stores do carry coconut oil, though.
Yep, I think some of the Cubs, if you look in the natural section, mm-hmm. will have that brand, so Spectrum brand.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening. And now we're going to take Rachel. Rachel, welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. What's your question?
Hi, ladies. I have a couple questions about the evening primrose and the borage oil.
Okay.
I have high cholesterol, and I'm wondering if it's safe to use those oils with high cholesterol.
Absolutely. And but you're not taking them to positively affect your high cholesterol necessarily. You're seeing other symptoms as to why you're taking the borage oil?
Well, I take a omega-3 blend of fish oil, and then I purchased some evening primrose oil, but I thought I heard someplace that if you have high cholesterol, you shouldn't, but then I'm always suspicious of things you hear out like that, because I think most of the advice that they give for people with high cholesterol is completely opposite of what you should be doing.
I have not heard any research that omega-6 was detrimental to high cholesterol.
I haven't either, and exactly what you said, Rachel, I think is right, is that there's some confusing information out there, and not all of it is true, unfortunately. So I think you're doing a healthy thing if you're doing the omega-6s and the omega-3s.
And then you mentioned that evening primrose is especially good for adolescents. I have a 10-year-old daughter and a 13-year-old son. Those would be safe for them, too, then?
It should be okay, but I guess I would... Personally, as a mom, I would probably only give that to them if there's some reasoning behind that.
Okay, but not just as a daily supplement, because I give them fish oil every day, too.
I think fish oil, and we're going to talk more about fish oil as we get into the show, I do give my kids fish oil on a daily basis, and one of the reasons is that it helps boost the immune system. So that one I can see, but I don't know, I guess I'm going to ask Cara, too, do you think that giving an omega-6 fatty acids to the adolescents just as kind of overall?
I guess, for skin issues or premenstrual syndrome, it's more for hormonal or skin issues.
Yeah, it's a bit different from omega-3s, where that's just good for overall health. Omega-6s, we usually wait to see certain symptoms, and like Cara mentioned, more hormonally related. Does that help?
It sure does. Thank you. I appreciate your help.
Okay, thanks for listening.
Yeah, enjoy your day.
Thank you. Let's take one more call before we get back to our content. Sarah, you're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition. Did you have a question for us?
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to say that first off, I love your show. And,
oh, thank you.
You guys always talk about fats, and I can't wrap my mind around the fact that you're telling me to eat fat and I'm going to lose weight. Can you just explain that to me on a really one level kind of basic terms on how that works?
Well, yeah, let me try to make this basic. In a nutshell, what you need to achieve in order to lose weight is that you need to release your fat-burning hormone. And to do that, you need to balance your blood sugars, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
You also need to be eating some animal protein several times throughout the day. So there's another thing that's important when you're trying to achieve weight loss besides just the fats. But again, you need to have balanced blood sugars in order for your body to release this fat-burning hormone called glucagon.
Okay.
And to balance your blood sugars, you need healthy fats. If you eat a carbohydrate alone, you're going to spike your blood sugar. Fat has no effect on blood sugar, so it's that piece that pulls that spike down and stabilizes it. Does that make sense?
So from my understanding now, if I eat a carbohydrate, a protein, and a fat all combined, they'll kind of keep my blood sugar stable.
Exactly.
And then what's the importance of doing that then? If you keep your blood sugar stable.
Because that is going to release your fat-burning hormone called glucagon.
Oh, okay.
A stable
okay.
blood sugar is key to making your body release that versus high blood sugars release our fat-storing hormone called insulin.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense.
Well, thank you. That's a great question.
It makes a lot of sense. Thank you so much, girls.
You bet. Right. Thanks for listening. Okay, well, before we take another call, let's talk a little bit more about fats. And I know we've been focusing here on what are the good fats, and Cara gave some good examples of fats that she eats on a regular basis. But, Cara, what are some fats that we should avoid? I do want to touch on this just a little bit.
You're right, Cassie. I mean, we're focusing on good fats, but to really educate listeners, we have to at least mention what the common bad fats are, because people don't know, and there's a lot of confusion in regards to this area.
There is. And so one of those bad fats is trans fats. Unfortunately, I'm getting the signal. We do need to take a little break. We're going to talk about some sources of trans fats when we return. You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, and our topic today is good fats to the rescue. Do stay tuned. We're not just going to talk more about the healthy fats, but we're going to talk about kind of some hidden sources of these bad trans fats as well. And if you have questions, call us here at the station at 651-641-1071.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Cara Carper, nutritionist, and I am here today with Cassie Wienus, registered dietitian. When we came back from break last time, I was telling listeners that we're offering the Weight and Wellness series at more locations than we have before. And I'd like to let everyone know that there's plenty of times as well. We actually have a class called Let's Do Lunch. So it's the same content. You meet for 12 weeks. For 1 hour instead of the 6 weeks for 2 hours. I know the Wayzata Let's Do Lunch class still has some openings, and I'm actually going to be teaching that one. It starts Friday the 16th, and it's from 11:30 to 12:30.
And she's a great teacher.
So it's going to be a great class. If you want to start the new year off right and feel better, definitely look into this class, and you can learn more about it by calling our office, 651-699-3438, or again, our website is weightandwellness.com.
And when we went to break, I mentioned that we talk about some of the hidden places where you can find trans fats, which are probably at the top of my list for ingredients that must be avoided. For one, I want to let listeners know, and if you're on hold, stay on hold. We're going to get to callers in just a second, but you can't just look at that nutrition facts label when you're picking up a food and look at trans fat, and if it says zero, think that you're fine, because food manufacturers can put trans fats in their foods and still report zero is the little known fact. So you have to read ingredient lists, and you want to look for either hydrogenated oils or partially hydrogenated oils when you're reading those ingredient lists.
And that's what we don't want, right?
That's what we don't want, exactly. And also, don't buy cookies or muffins or cakes from a bakery unless you know exactly what ingredients they're using, because the large majority of the time, they are baking with trans fats. So let's get to callers. We have Deb. Deb, you're on Dishing Up Nutrition. What's your question?
I have a couple of friends who have gone to your classes, and they have switched to whole milk. And my question is, like, I totally understand about the omega-3s and omega-6s, but isn't there a point where there's too much saturated fat? And then my second question is, like, I have a problem with, like, butter because it's hard. And I'm just wondering, is there, like, a spread you recommend that's okay to use that you can just have on the table? Or, you know, I don't want to microwave my butter.
Okay, well, the whole milk question, again, we believe in the least amount of processing, and so that's whole milk, right? The food that God put on this earth for us to eat. Now, that being said, certainly you can overdo it in any of the healthy fat categories. It goes back to that whole variety is key. So we always advocate get some saturated fat. but get some healthy omega-3s, which are a monounsaturated healthy fat, and get some healthy polyunsaturated fats, too. And then in terms of the butter question, I'm going to answer, and then I'm going to see if Cara has any other ideas, but you sound like my husband. He gets very frustrated because I pull the butter from the fridge, set it on the table, and dang it, it's too hard. If I remember ahead of time to set it out, that works great, like to just set it out for 15 minutes before dinner. I know that doesn't always happen, so I don't have any great recommendations. Cara?
Well, I have seen at the grocery stores now that they have whipped butter.
Oh, and you looked at the ingredient list.
Yeah, there was nothing in it but butter, and it's whipped.
Oh.
So that would be one option.
Is it organic?
I don't believe it's organic.
Okay.
But as far as the whole milk goes, like, because these girls are drinking like 2 or 3 glasses a day, and I'm just like, wow, that's a lot of saturated fat. And so I was looking at the American Heart Association thing, and they still list that as a bad fat. So I was just... And maybe you guys mentioned that in your classes and they didn't catch it, but it's like they're drinking like 3 glasses a day, and I was looking at the label, and that's like 24 grams of saturated fat. So,
you know, we don't get, again, back to the point that variety is key, and to get some of your fats from saturated, some from poly, some from monounsaturated. We don't get real alarmed about including saturated fat in your diet. I know the American Heart Association does, but... when you look at the good third-party research, it's really more the highly refined oils that are contributing to the clogged arteries and the high rate of heart disease in this country. So the corn oil, the soybean oil, the processed canola oil, that's what we get concerned with, not a good organic whole milk. But great question.
Okay, thank you.
You bet, thank you. And next, let's go to Leah. Leah, you're on Dishing Up Nutrition. You have a question for us?
Yes, my question is somewhat related to the last caller's question. I have avoided fats in my diet, not so much because of my weight, but because I have a family history of high cholesterol and bad lipids, blood lipids. I have a tendency to, you know, have more of the bad cholesterol and not so much of the good cholesterol, and I've always thought that avoiding saturated fats would help that, along with exercise and you know, lifestyle management. And my blood cholesterol runs a little over 200, and I don't want it to go any higher because I don't want to have to go on any kind of cholesterol managing medication.
Right.
So could you just address how this diet affects blood cholesterol and other lipids in the blood?
We work a lot with clients that are either trying to bring down their cholesterol or that are on the statin drugs and want to come off, and we are darn successful. And in a nutshell, it's not the saturated fats that are the evil culprit. When you look at a healthy cell membrane, it has some saturated fat, some monounsaturated fat, and some polyunsaturated fat. It's really more overdoing it on the processed carbohydrates that can really drive up cholesterol numbers.
Okay.
Hope that
helps.
That's
interesting. Yeah, it does. I've tried to avoid the processed carbohydrates as well and go more towards whole grains. I haven't had my cholesterol checked in a while, so I'll be interested to see how that's affected it.
That will be interesting. And another thing, you know, whenever there's that history of heart disease or you already have some high numbers, really be very diligent to look for those trans fats by reading the labels and the ingredient lists and stay away from those because those are very damaging to our blood vessels.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thanks for the call. Okay, and let's take, do we have time for a caller? Let's take Sue. Sue, you're on with Dishing Up Nutrition.
Hi, thank you for your informative show.
Sure.
My question is about olive oil, and we're trying to use olive oil as much as we can, especially for our Caesar salads, but we find the taste of extra virgin a little strong, and at one of our big box stores, we've been buying olive oil. It's called Extra Late Light Tasting Olive Oil, and the ingredient label says olive oil composed of refined olive oils and virgin olive oils. What do you think?
I whenever we hear that word refined, it's probably not your best choice.
Is there anything that isn't quite as strong tasting as the extra virgin or virgin olive oil? That would be a good...
I think you're stumping us. Where are you using that olive oil that you feel is a strong taste? Is it in cooking or
Caesar salad mainly? We really make a lot of Caesar salads
for the salad dressing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't have any good answers for you. I think it's maybe just more of an acquired taste to get used to that olive oil in there. You could probably try like an expeller pressed canola oil. I don't know, Cara, do you think that, because that wouldn't have a flavor to it?
Yeah, canola in itself is always going to be a processed oil, but the best version of canola oil would be cold-pressed or expeller-pressed.
And that would be a better choice than even this olive oil that says refined?
No, you would be better off with an olive oil, because olives, if you think about how olive oil is extracted, you just squeeze the olive and there's the oil. Canola is a hard seed, so you would always be better off with an olive oil.
Okay, how about if we mix this olive oil, it's called Extra Light, with some extra virgin until we got used to it?
I think that's a great idea, and then just kind of, titrate off of the refined stuff until your palate acquires that taste.
Would they emulsify? Is there going to be a problem if we try to mix them?
Nope, they should work together just fine.
Okay, thank you so much for all your good information.
Thanks for your question.
Bye-bye.
And Dawn, you're online with Dishing Up Nutrition.
Hi, I just had a real quick question. The last time I was into the doctor, I was telling him I would like to get off some of my medications, blood pressure and cholesterol. Blood pressure I have to be on forever, I know. But he told me you can't cure cholesterol, that I'll probably be on that medication forever. Is that true?
No. And, you know, they tease me that I came over from the dark side, because I used to work in the clinic setting as a registered dietitian, and that's the thinking that I was under, too. That's what I was taught. But I have seen the opposite here, so I'm just telling you from experience. You can...
I've been at Weight Watchers, and I've lost 55 pounds, and I've really kind of changed my eating habits, and my cholesterol comes up really good reporting, but that's... because I'm on medication, I'm assuming. Now, if I went off of it, they could test it again, right, and see if there's been an improvement?
Right. You know, and probably the best course of action, honestly, would be to come in and meet with one of our counselors and really go through a full diet history, because this is important here. You're dealing with your heart, and you want to do
it
right if you're going to come off. So I think you'd want to sit down with a counselor and come up with a meal plan that works for you and be on that for a couple months before you try to start titrating off of your cholesterol-lowering med.
Okay. Well, yeah, I wouldn't go off of it without the doctor, you know. I mean, I wouldn't do it on my own.
Right.
But, okay, maybe I'll do that. You're on the website for 107.1, right?
Yep, you can either get on our website or call our office at 651-699-3438 to learn more about setting up an appointment, too.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for listening. And we're going to have to take another break. If you're, if you've called in, stay online. We'll get to you when we come back. We are Dishing Up Nutrition, or rather, you're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, excuse me, and we're talking about the valuable role that good fats play in your overall health. Don't turn that dial, because when we return, you're going to learn a lot more about these healthy fats. Welcome back. This is Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Cara Carper, here with Cassie Wienis. We sure hate having to take those breaks. It seems like there's never enough time to get out all the valuable information that we have. But remember, if you still want to learn more at the end of the hour, we have these great classes, the Weight and Wellness Series, and they have a range of wonderful topics. In a nutshell, the classes help you discover the power of real food for improving your health. And we truly have an entire roster of wonderful teachers. We have a lot of teachers this year that have gone through rigorous training. One of those teachers is Mary Haughey. Some of you have probably heard her on the radio show in the past. And she really has turned
the health of her family around dramatically.
Yes, and so she's very passionate when she teaches. I really enjoy listening to her.
Yep, she's a great teacher. And she will be teaching two classes for this next series, Thursdays in Eden Prairie, and also Saturdays at our Wayzata office.
She's going to be a busy lady.
She is. If you want more information on our classes, just call 651-699-3438.
And last time we were talking about trans fats and kind of how you really need to be a food detective and read the ingredient list to stay away from those. But they're not the only bad fats to avoid, are they, Cara?
No, I mean, it's fairly common knowledge, I think, now that trans fats are not a good thing. But a lot of people don't realize that the vegetable oils are really just as damaging as the trans fats. They're highly processed. Oh, just a little bit ago, we were talking about canola.
Yep.
I think most people think canola is so healthy, but it's a very processed oil.
It is. Well, and I'll tell you, as a registered dietitian, before I came here and started reading the third-party research that we have at our fingertips, I was telling people to eat the canola.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was a healthy thing, but no, it's very processed. And over break, Cara was reminding me how, you know, that seed that canola comes from is an itty-bitty little hard seed. So you can imagine it must take a lot of high heat and a lot of processing to extract any oil.
And the same thing goes for soybeans and corn. So these are all the vegetable oils that we're told in the past were healthy, but can be very damaging, particularly for heart health. You want to avoid those to keep your blood vessels strong and healthy.
Right. So, you know, when you're shopping, certainly the bottle of corn oil or the bottle of canola oil, it's a good idea to avoid those if they're processed and not found in the natural section. But also margarine spreads. If you start reading the ingredient lists on a lot of these margarine spreads, even the ones that say cardiologists recommended, the ingredients contain these highly processed vegetable oils, which are not good for your heart. And vegetable shortenings. If you're somebody that does a lot of baking, the vegetable shortenings like Crisco, it's really just a tub of bad fats.
Tub of trans fats.
Yes.
Well, enough about bad fats. Let's go back to good fats for a little bit and talk about their wonderful healing benefits. And I bet a lot of our listeners don't realize that there are many healthy fats that are actually going to boost our immune system.
Right, and what an appropriate time to be talking about that. With cold and flu season upon us, I bet there's not a person listening that wouldn't love to be sure that their immune system is operating at top speed. And it's the omega-3 fats in particular that are known to really boost our immune system.
And again, if we can be getting these things from food, that's our first choice. Some wonderful food sources of omega-3s are the cold water fatty fish. The more fat the fish has, the more omega-3 content.
Right.
So salmon, sardines, herring, mackerel, things like this. Eggs, again, if the chickens were out roaming around, they will have a higher omega-3 content than if they were just penned up and
grains.
Not able to go outside and fed grains.
Yeah, so grass-fed is really key with those eggs.
Mm-hmm. And the same goes for, you know, cow sources as well. Cows that are grass-fed are going to have higher omega-3 content.
Right.
And the dairy that comes from them as well.
Right. It makes me think of the butter. What is the name of that? Pastureland. Really good source of grass-fed butter, if you want to look for that. Well, we do need to take one last break. You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition. We're talking today mostly about the good fats, a little bit about the fats to avoid. Keep listening. We'll have a few more good facts for you when we return.
This ain't no disco. It ain't no country club either.
We're back again, and you're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition with Cara Carper and Cassie Wienis. So now is the time for all of you to sign up for our popular 6-week weight and wellness series, or the 12-week Let's Do Lunch version of the weight and wellness series. Day and evening classes are starting next week. You can go to our website, weightandwellness.com, or call 651-699-3438. Also, we've been talking about how fat is related to balancing blood sugar. If anyone out there is concerned about high blood sugars, we have a wonderful class called Managing the Blood Sugar Roller Coaster Monday, January 19th, and that's at our White Bear Lake office. So you can check out our website for information on that.
You know, and hearing you talk about that managing your blood sugars, there's some good research out there in terms of how damaging those high blood sugars can be to our immune system. And I know we were just talking about how it's cold and flu season. Do you want to comment on that, Cara?
Well, yeah, like you said, there's an indirect reason how omega-3s or any healthy fat can foster a healthy immune system. There's some great research out there. We read research by Robert Crahan, a well-known researcher and nutritionist, and Louise Gittleman, another author and nutritionist. And they both say when you have spikes in the blood sugar, which happens when you eat just a carbohydrate
right.
by itself.
Bag of pretzels and an apple.
Exactly.
I used to do it.
Yep, so that's all carbohydrates. So when your blood sugars spike from eating carbohydrates or sugars, that can actually suppress immune function. And they say for up to 5 or 6 hours.
Isn't that amazing?
It is. It's really interesting. So what do we need to do? We just add in, well, preferably protein and fat with that apple.
Yep, to balance your blood sugar. It's really uh-huh. balancing your meals by getting a healthy fat, a healthy animal protein, and a healthy carbohydrate like a fruit or a vegetable. And, you know, having you say that, it reminds me of a student I had in a class not so long ago, and she had 4 kids, and the one out of the 4 had such severe food allergies that all he could really eat was animal proteins, fruits and vegetables, and some fats. He couldn't do gluten or any of these processed carbs. She said, compared to my other kids, he is so healthy. Well, it makes me think, hearing you talk, it's probably because he's not overloading his system mm-hmm. with all of the crackers and the breads that the other kids are, because like you said, it's suppressing your immune mm-hmm. system for 5 to 6 hours after that meal or snack. Wow. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Please tune in again next week, and remember, food can be your problem or it can be your solution. The choice is yours. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-